Hello and welcome back to the Legal Queen podcast. I release these episodes each Sunday morning at 6 a.m. We have 11,000 monthly listeners, so I hope that you enjoy as we try to help those that have a family law question or query by giving as much information as we possibly can. So if I could ask that if you enjoy this podcast, please consider giving me a 5-star rating so that we can help even more people. My goal is to reach a total of 50,000 monthly listeners by the end of the year, and you guys can help me do that. Anyway, let's get on with the episode. I hope you enjoy. Captain, you have your hand up, so just sent you an invitation. There we go. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm really well, thank you. Yeah, did you have a nice holiday?
I did. I really did have a nice holiday, but it's always nice to come back.
It's always nice to come back. A couple of questions to kick us off tonight.
Yeah.
So this lady has received a conditional order this morning. No, that's wrong one. She's received a scan of her final order from the solicitor. And she needs a physical copy of it. Will one be sent automatically or do I need to apply for it online?
No. I mean, the one that she... If she's done the divorce via the portal, then that's the only one she's going to get. So there won't be anything sent in the post. The portal's doing away with the post. So if her solicitor has gone onto the portal and downloaded it and then emailed it to her, that's it. That's it. I wonder, Captain, if she's asking the question because the scanned copy doesn't look great, in which case go back to the solicitor and say, look, can I have a more... a clearer copy or a more professional looking copy. But no, we don't get the originals anymore in the post because we've moved over to the portal.
Okay, that's great. Thanks, Tracy. Okay. This next one is, I got divorced last year without the financial order being done.
Yeah.
The marriage lasted only for 3 months. Me and my ex-partner have nothing to share, no assets together, no property owned. We both have a job and technically earning approximately the same. I initiated a financial order stroke clean break application through my solicitor.
Yeah.
7 and 8 months. The ex and his solicitor are delaying the process and not responding to our emails.
Yeah.
I am at the stage where I'm happy to start mediation.
Yeah.
Have you got any idea on how long it would take for the court proceedings and mediation to happen? And would the judge be able to make a decision on his own if my ex is still delaying and ignoring our emails? I seriously have no idea why he's delaying it and no idea what to do.
So at the end of the day, if you don't go to mediation and you make your financial application to the court, and let's say that he was engaging 100%, it would still take between 9 to 12 months. So that's the first thing I would say. If he doesn't engage, then yes, the court can make an order in his absence. But then we're looking at a good 18 months because generally what the court will say is, well, they'll adjourn the first hearing, give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, that by the time we get round to the FDR, they might be saying, well, look, you know, let's adjourn that one, give him the benefit of the doubt there. So it sort of, it drags on a little bit more. The question around mediation, you need to at least attempt mediation before she can make the financial application. So if he doesn't engage with the mediator, I think the mediators generally give about 14 days for them to reply to the mediator. And if they don't reply, then the mediator will give the MIAM certificate out. So she'd have to wait the 14 days and then make the application. At the end of the day, she will get her final order, her financial order. It's just going to take a while if he doesn't engage, but she will get there in the end.
Yeah. And just for people that are listening that don't know, financial order, clean break order, they're the same thing, aren't they?
They're absolutely terminology. Yeah, they're absolutely the same. So the financial order is what we need to sever the financial ties. If you don't get your financial order, guys, and you just get your divorce, you aren't going to have severed any financial ties. So that's why we have to get them. And then a clean break order is just a type of financial order. A clean break means that there are no assets between the parties to be divided. So we're just severing the financial ties. So it's just a clean break. There is nothing to be divided and we're severing financial ties.
Great. And just one final point I've got, Tracy.
Yeah.
You talk about mediation all the time.
Yeah.
It's not a compulsory thing that you have to do, is it? Just for yeah. people that are listening, it's something that it's for fine. Is it for finances and children? You don't have to do mediation for divorce, do you?
That's right, yeah. And you know what? That's a great question, Captain. So the divorce, no. You can just go online and start your divorce. There's no mediation needed for that. But the court do like parties to at least attempt mediation before they make a children's application or a financial application. And that is just an attempt, really, to have fewer applications made in the hope that people will settle at mediation. So that's why the courts are, you know, suggesting it. But it isn't compulsory. So if you contact a mediator and you don't want to do mediation because you feel it won't work or you're intimidated or whatever it is, the mediator won't force you. But they will give you the MIAMS form, which lets the court know that at least you attempted it. You tried it. You gave it some thought. It just wasn't suitable for you. And then you can go on and make your court application.
Yeah, and I'm just going to do a shameless plug for you here, Tracy.
Yeah.
You've got a really lovely video with a mediator on your YouTube channel.
I have. So my good friend Debbie, a very, very good friend of mine, who is a qualified mediator, and I refer lots of my clients to her just because I know that I can trust Debbie and she's a really good mediator. She was kind enough to come on and do a podcast for me, which, as you say, Captain, is on my YouTube channel. So for those of you that are thinking about mediation and you really want to know the ins and outs of it, and me and Debbie go into it in some detail, we talk about the cost, we talk about all the different ups and downs, what can happen, we talk about the role of the mediator in there and how they're meant to be impartial. So yeah, nice plug, thank you, Captain. Go and check that out, guys, if you are thinking about mediation.
You're welcome, Tracy. That's all I've got for now.
All right, thanks, bye. Harry, what's your question?
Hello.
I can hear you. Yeah, how can I help?
I'm gathering my thoughts. Okay, so myself and my ex are going through a divorce. We have one child together. At the moment, our child sees his dad every single Sunday. Now, originally, he got a solicitor to contact me to do a child arrangements order where he said he wanted our child to have 1 week with me, 1 week with him, and I said that wasn't appropriate. Our child's only five, and I don't believe it will work, so I said no. He said he wanted more time,
yeah.
So I said, you know, we can do alternative weekends, so 1 weekend with me, 1 weekend with you, and because you won't be seeing him every week, you can have like a Wednesday during the week. And he's refused that and has said that he wants 1 weekend and then every single Sunday, which means that I don't get a full weekend with our child. So yep. I said no.
Yeah.
And the reason he's basically said that he can't do 1 day during the week because he works really, really long hours. And I said, well, why did you get a solicitor to tell me you wanted 50-50, 1 week on, 1 week off then, if you can't do 1 day during the week? And essentially he's now saying that he's going to take me to court and fight for full custody, I guess. So that our child lives with him full time, even though he only lives in a one bedroom flat. So he doesn't yeah. have a bedroom for our son or a bed for our son. I obviously do.
Yeah. I get the context, Kerry. Kerry, do you just want to ask me your question? I totally understand where you're going yeah. with it.
So I guess what do I do if the fact that, you know, he won't take alternative weekends and 1 day during the week, and he keeps on showing up at my house every single Sunday.
So you don't
threaten him to take me to court. What do I do?
Yeah, you don't do anything. You don't do anything. So even where there isn't a court order, you are by default already classed as the child's main carer because the child lives with you.
Yeah.
Okay. There is a dispute yeah. now as to how much contact he is having with the child. So he would be the one to make the application. He makes the application to the court to say, I want more contact, and she's not letting me have that contact. Now, if he wanted full custody, so a change of residence, we don't use the term custody anymore, yeah. he would fail because there seems no good reason to take a child from their home and give them to another parent. Doesn't matter about the one bedroom thing and the long hours and all the rest of it. It's about the status quo, the routine for the child. So he wouldn't get that. Okay. Would he then get 50-50? Chances are no, he wouldn't, because he's only having a Sunday or every other weekend or whatever it might be. So it's a big jump. You know, the court's going to think, well, you know, the child's into a routine with dad. Why are we necessarily changing that? The court's also going to want the child to have a weekend with both parents. OK, so, you know, that's why his suggestion of every weekend or every other weekend and then every other Sunday probably isn't going to go down well with the court either. But in terms of what do you do? Nothing. You've already made it clear that you don't agree with his proposal. If he then wishes to make the court application, then that's fine. That's his prerogative to do so. The other thing that I would say is that if he's simply turning up at your door every Sunday and he isn't welcome and this is becoming an issue for you, then that's something that you would call the police about. That wouldn't be a family matter. Do you know what I mean? But don't get... And the reason I went into such detail there is because there are so many other moms, Carrie, that are listening and I know that are out there that automatically assume they have to try and fix the problem. And I want to assure you that you don't have to fix the problem, okay? Let him make the application if he can't agree with you.
Okay. All right. And then just, if I may, another question.
Yeah.
We tried mediation, prior to me going to my first Miami, he sent me an email. And because he deemed that I didn't go to mediation within the time frame, I didn't have my Miami within the time frame that he wanted, he essentially said, I'm not willing to discuss finances. I'm going to get my solicitor to send you a letter. You need to sign a clean break order, which means we don't split any finances. I then can't get him to try and pay for part of our child's school fees. So I said, no, I did my MIAM and essentially said, you know, I don't think mediation is going to work based on these grounds. So I've got my MIAM certificate now.
Yeah.
He's essentially saying that he wants me to sign a clean break order. I won't do that. So can I now just take the application to court for the financial order and essentially have a judge decide?
Yes. So the form that you're referring to is the Form A. So you'll download and complete the Form A. You'll upload your MIAMS form, attach it to the Form A and submit it to the court. It's all done electronically now. So you would just email it into the court and that's then going to start your financial application.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Thank you.
All right, pleasure. Thanks, Carrie. Bye.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mart. How are you?
How are you, Tris?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good.
Did you have a nice holiday?
I had a lovely holiday. Really, really nice. I did absolutely nothing on this holiday. But I was just saying to Captain, it's nice to be back. I do miss you guys.
Yeah, well, I've got a couple of questions from you from the 2 weeks that you were off.
Okay, so far away.
You'll be messaging me once you haven't been yet.
Okay.
So the first one I've got for you, I'm putting a non-molestation due to DV and child arrangements as he isn't adhering to equal parenting time in the holidays and keeps my daughter longer than expected.
Yeah.
How will the court see this as he doesn't share equal time of the weekend either?
You got to be really careful on this one, because if he keeps hold of the child and isn't returning the child and this keeps happening, then you've got to be careful we're not setting a new status quo. Do you know what I mean? The golden rule when you're making a children's application is the judge is going to be looking at what routine does the child have so far? What are they used to? So if dad is continually keeping the child, I'm going to use an example of, say, 4 nights a week rather than 3, and this has been going on and on and on, and mum hasn't anything to stop it, it might be that the judge deems the 4 nights are actually the status quo. And she might then find herself in a tricky position trying to get it back to the 3 nights a week.
I got you.
Sure, yeah, so, that's fine. Yeah, okay.
The next one I've got is, I have my children full time and my ex-husband has them every other weekend.
Yeah.
Is it possible to move 2.5 miles away without his permission? He's on the birth certificate, but is moving won't affect his time with the children.
Yeah, so as long as it doesn't affect his time with the children, you can move wherever you want. So you're not asking the court for his permission to sort of move house. You can live wherever you choose to live. It's only when it's going to impact contact, and if he then disagrees, you then have to apply to the court for permission. But if it's not going to impact anything, it's not going to change anything, the children are going to stay at the same schools, etc., and 2.5 miles, chances are they will, that's fine. She doesn't need anybody's permission to do that.
Right, no worries. How can I go about changing my daughter's social worker? She is clearly biased and has made serious incorrect facts. I'm currently in early stages of the complaint process.
Mm. This is a real tricky one. My advice and suggestion is always where you've got social workers involved in your family, you really do have to try to rub along with them. Do you know what I mean? Because they are the ones that the court's going to be listening to. And sometimes, whilst you might disagree with what they're telling you, it's better to toe the line. Now, that's not to say that sometimes social workers will report things inaccurately. And it's difficult for me to comment on the actual complaint because I don't know enough about the case. If the complaint is upheld, then I'm sure the manager will allocate a new social worker. But of course, the problem that you have is that one social worker is going to talk to the other. They're all going to share the same office because the one district will have the same office. So the important thing here, I think, is to maintain a good reputation. Try to work with them rather than against them. And I know that's really difficult because nobody wants somebody coming into their home and, you know, sort of telling you how to raise your children and what to do. But ultimately, they are there for a reason. You know, if social services are involved, it's because there are some genuine concerns there.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I got one more for you and then we can have a bit of a break.
Yeah, sure.
Anybody else?
Okay. Yeah.
Can I ask what the court's view would be on a child calling a step parent mum rather than their name? Dad has said they want the step mum to be called mum. It's been 6 years now. I raised it with Dad about 4 or 5 years ago and the school, but nothing has changed. And now the dad is telling the court the child wants to call her mum. Is it too late to stop this happening?
Well, the thing is, it's not something that the court would get involved in, really. There's no sort of legal principle on what we call parents or people that look after us. That definitely would be something that would be left with the family to decide. I'm not so sure, Mark, why she brought the school in. The school certainly wouldn't need to call her mum because in the legal sense, she's not a mum. But within the confines of your own home, the child can refer to her as mum if she wants to and if she feels comfortable to. It has no legal impact whether she's calling her mum or not. And where we have actually these blended families, I'll just finish off, Mark. Where we have these blended families, you'll find sometimes that children will call, let's say, you know, biological dad is called Tom and stepdad is called Mart. Then we might say Daddy Tom, Daddy Mart. Do you know what I mean? So that can oftentimes happen.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's fine.
Fab.
We'll have a bit of a break there, Trace, yeah. And I'll come back to you.
Appreciate that. Thanks, Mark. Bye. Hey, Captain, you're back on. How can I help?
Hello, I've got a couple for you.
Yeah.
So we are already in the court for a FDR hearing next week.
Yeah.
I also want to apply for a child arrangement order as well.
Yeah.
Because we have an existing case in family court, do I need the C2 form for the child arrangement or do I need to do a C100 application?
No, I get that you're already in the family court, but it's two completely different applications. So the finances are already started. And for those listening, the FDR refers to the financial hearing. So they have to make a C100 captain to start the children's proceedings. Now, both of those proceedings will be dealt with usually by different judges and they will have different hearings. So you won't be able to speak about the children's application at your financial hearing. You're going to end up going to court, you know, sort of twice as much, really. because you'll go to court for your financial hearings, but then you'll also have other court dates for the children's hearings. So it is going to get double busy for that person, which is fine. Yeah. I'm just pointing out that it will be dealt with separately.
Yeah, I thought that was the case. I just wanted to make sure before I gave them the answer.
Fair enough.
I've got another one here. This is from a lady on TikTok. She's been married for 36 years and she's about to start divorce proceedings. She doesn't know what to do. Her husband has a full-time job, 9 to 5, but also co-owns two companies and is about to open a third. My question is, can I ask for part of the new company before it's up and running?
Chances are, yes, she can. But now we're getting into a question that requires specific advice. And clearly there's a lot of assets there. Yeah. So what that person needs to do is get a consultation. Doesn't have to be with my firm, any firm that she wants to go to, but get a consultation. Because in that consultation, she will then be told exactly what she's entitled to financially. There's a lot going on there. And it would be really unfair of me to go, yes, you can, or no, you can't. I don't know enough about the case. Okay, so she needs to get a consultation. The thing to remember is that regardless of whose name assets are in, if you've been married, then they are all matrimonial assets. So they'll all the starting position is we put everything on the table and we divide it 50-50. And from there, then we may be going up and down 40, 60, 70, 30, whatever it might be, dependent upon the party's needs. And that's the element that she needs to get the advice on.
Yeah. And just for other people listening, that a 36-year marriage would be classed as a long marriage.
Oh,
it?
Absolutely. Anything sort of over and above 12, 14 years is going to be classed as long. 36, definitely long. What that means for those of you that are listening is that the starting point will definitely be 50-50. Chances are we're not going to have any under 18-year-old children there. But what we probably have with such a long marriage is a house with no mortgage and pensions. So that it's really key. And she mentions that the husband has businesses. So there's, you know, probably lots of assets there. So she desperately needs to get some advice.
Okay, and I've got one final one for you, Tracy.
That's fine.
What happens in the first hearing dispute resolution in child's hearing? My ex solicitor is sending me letters asking for health records, GP records, letters from my works manager and my work contract. This person is the respondent and also litigant in person. Can my ex ask for these when they've not been court ordered and we have less than a week until the hearing?
No. So you're only obliged to hand over filing and serving. So you file with the court, serve on the other side, the documents that the court have ordered you to. So if the judge wants these documents and feels it's important to help decide the case, then directions will be made telling you to file these documents with the court and serve them on the other side. If the other side are simply asking for the documents because they want them, then you can say no. And the next time you're in court, which looks like it's next week, then that person will ask the judge for a directions that she has to file and serve these documents. And of course, what the court will then do is assess if they're necessary. Will these documents help the case any? Will they bring it forward at all?
Okay, that's all I've got for now, Trace.
Brilliant. Thanks Captain. For those of you that maybe haven't listened to this before, just wanted to let you know that Captain and Mart ask questions on behalf of other people. So we get lots of direct messages. They both also get lots of messages themselves. Sometimes there's people who don't want to come on and ask just because they're shy. Sometimes it's because their ex is actually listening on the live or perhaps in the Discord, so they would like to remain anonymous. There's a variety of reasons. So that's why when Captain and Mark come on, I do sort of allow 6 or 7 questions because they're asking on behalf of lots of people. Okay, Nuri, you are next. What's your question?
Hi, Tracy.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Hi. I'm calling on behalf of my friend who is a litigant in person.
Yeah.
Her ex-husband made an application for contact with their 5-year-old daughter, and it's been going on since her daughter was born. The marriage broke down while she was still pregnant. And there was safeguarding concerns, so she didn't allow contact when her daughter was first born, so dad put in an application. And it's just dragged on and on and on. They're at the point now where a legal guardian has been appointed, and he is horribly biased to dad. All of his kind of reports that he's written have been based on hearsay that dad has said. He doesn't quote mum in any of his paperwork. He's not mentioned any of the concerns that she's raised. Contact, she takes her daughter to contact, but her daughter won't actually physically get out of the car to go to contact. And she's now she's at the point where they're saying that they're going to, there's an enforcement order being, that dad is trying to get the order enforced, where the legal guardian now is being asked to write a report. If my friend is to do unpaid work, would that be in the best interest of their daughter? And he is just really gunning for her. He has threatened her so many times to say that they can take her daughter out of her care, change her residency. He is just horribly biased. I was just wondering, is there any way that she can change this guardian that has been appointed for her daughter?
I don't think that's where she should start, if I'm being perfectly honest. I think that, you know, whatever the report says, she needs to focus on correcting that in her statement. So she will be afforded an opportunity to respond to any evidence that's filed by the guardian. And I think that she needs to address that in the statement. That's where I would go with that. Again, I think I answered someone's...
She has been doing that.
Yeah, okay. Well, it will come down to the judge. Yeah. The judge will make the best decision that they feel is in the best interest of the child. I just feel that if you start to make complaints about the guardian, or you start to insinuate that, you know, everything that you've told me there in your question, it could potentially make the situation worse. So I would be, I mean, you say that she's a litigant in person. It may be worth her trying to find somebody who can assist her, a properly qualified person who can put together a really good statement for her, because that's it's the accuracy of the statement that can sometimes sway the court. And we don't want to be critical of the guardian, because the courts will listen to the guardian. But we do need to show that elements of the report are not quite accurate, or perhaps unfair to the child, and then explain why. Do you know what I mean? It's a little bit more complex than simply just saying, well, can we change the guardian? Because chances are that will be met with a no, we can't.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you so much for your time.
Pleasure. Thank you, bye.
Thank you, bye-bye.
Husky Gamer, I'm going to come to you next. What's your question?
Okay. Good evening, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm not doing too bad. I'll try to keep it short and sweet for you, Tracy. A long story cut short is I've now got full, I won't say custody, but residential order for the two children I've got PR for now, living with me. And the stepdaughter now is living with biological dad.
Okay.
But one of the mums, which was an included party who started court processes, hasn't been able to supply a go-between for handovers. So the social services now hit the head against a brick wall. What do they do? Now, biological dad to the stepdaughter is put his niece forward, who has minor learning difficulties. So the social services are aiding her in being a support worker. But there's a history between the first mum and the support worker, quite an agenda. Now, it's come to light that this support worker has publicly made known to go all to documents in favour of this mum. Now, I've reported it to the social worker and I've kind of been brushed off. Now, we're only 2 weeks out of court from a final order, so we're actually under what you call a family agreement order with social services.
Yeah.
So they're there to kind of sit in the background, make sure everything runs smoothly. Now, when I've brought up my concerns to the social worker, she kind of politely gone into panic mode, like, well, there's nobody else to be the go-between, what do I do? And she's kind of flipped this conversation back on myself, putting the pressure onto me to try and rectify it. There's no way I can rectify this. And I've tried to talking to my legal about it, and they're kind of like, they don't know what to do. They just say, this person should be took off the case as a go-between or an investigation or something. So I'm kind of like, what do I do? Because I'm not wanting to go against the order to encourage contact, far from it. But because this person, what's been put forward, has an agenda with one of the parties, quite a big one, where would I stand legally? Would it have to go back to court, or would I just have to go through a complaints department with the local social services?
I think if there's issues around that person, and obviously being in charge of the child, you know, and we've got concerns there. If I were in your shoes, I would be going to court, given it's the final hearing, with alternatives. And if there is no alternative people, then
we've had the final hearing. The order's gone through. The order's gone through. So this has now been left with services, but I'm giving it the tweet, if you will.
Okay. Well, then the matter would have to return to court. Yeah. It would have to go back to court.
Yeah.
That's all. I mean, you know, you would. You would want to just be saying to the judge, look, we're just going to, you know, we just need a directions hearing of perhaps an hour. There's an issue here that's arisen from the final hearing. We don't need to relist the whole thing again and hear all the evidence. It is just a moot point. If we've got no agreement and we've got no alternative suggestions as to who would be appropriate to take up that position, then, you know, we're going to have to go back to court. Is there no way to agree an alternative? No.
There's nobody on my circle, if you will, will step forward to be the go-between, because they've all had abuse from.
Right.
And on mum's part, her family are saying she's not poorly. There's mental health problems there. She's not poorly. They're all saying she's fine. So this then leads to biological dad to the stepdaughter to put his niece forward, because she's wanting to kind of work with the social services, but she was more, it would just be her and her niece, not my child as well.
Yeah.
Because of the blended family sort of setup. So that's kind of sit uneven. So if I've politely disagreed or tried to compromise with contact days and stuff, which is a good reason to, so I've not stopped it. I've just said, can we try work a different time? She's gone straight back and she's politely back-mouthed me to the mum, and then she's leaked out private information to mum. So I've gone straight to the social worker today and I've gone, okay, these are my concerns. Data protection's been broken here. She's got an agenda. What do we do? Where do we go from here? This is the information I'm seeing and I'm hearing. What do I do with this? Mm. And the social worker says, well, just go have a one-to-one talk with this person. But I said, what happens if it falls on deaf ears? And she goes, I don't know, because none of you's got anybody for the kids to be the go-between for handovers. This has gone through for 3 years now. I said, well, worst case situation, would that mean it would be up to mum to take us back to court for another suggestion on somebody to be put forward, and the social worker just doesn't know?
I think the issue you have is that the court can't find a go-between. The court won't be able to appoint a go-between. You know, the court's going to hear the problem and go, okay, well, who's the alternative? So that's probably why the social...
We have the local authority for the majority of the time, and then it was their other branches of companies, you know, some family support and that sort of thing, what we're intervening in.
Yeah.
But because it's now wrapped up politely into God knows what sort of money, given the length of time, someone within the social services go, we can't do this anymore. Now, mum has been put forward for therapy. We got to think she's going to decline this. We all know there's difficulties there politely. We know there's going to be an ongoing issue for many years. I've got PR to the two boys. Stepdad's got PR to the stepdaughter. So we're kind of like, We're quite happy with how the children are, but mum still needs to see children.
Yeah.
Who's going to be that to cater that? And there's nobody. This person, the third party, is the last resort. After that, there's nothing. So we're all kind of like, where do we go from
here? If it falls down, then mum will be the one to take it back to court, because she'll be the one missing out on contact.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's essentially what's going
to
happen.
We've been advised, she's supposed to be looking for therapy for the issues she deals with. But the court has also said there's no guarantee she's going to fulfil this, because we've had history with her. So if she doesn't complete the therapy, then it's left to me and the other father to go, you're not seeing the children.
Exactly.
We don't believe it, whatever it may be.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it's going to be one of them. So if the social services can't find a positive, it would have to be returned back to court as a direction here. And
but by mum, because if they can't find an alternative and you and stepfather cannot agree or don't approve of the niece or the other person, then contact may well stop and then mum will take it back. But as I say, taking it back to court may not remedy it because the judge is going to be asking all of you, well, who can be that go-between?
Yeah.
All right?
Okay. All right, Tracy. Thank
lovely.
You.
Lovely. Pleasure. Good to talk to you again. Bye.
You
too.
You too.
Bye-bye. Andrea, I'm going to come to you next. Bear with me 1 second. I'm getting all my buttons mixed up. Hello, how are you?
Hello, I'm very good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. How is it I can help, Andrea?
Super quick question, which I already know the answer to, but it's come through while you're online, so I might as well pick your brains.
Okay, yeah.
So as you know, my son has not been seeing his father since end of March.
Yeah.
I've been sending emails pretty much every week encouraging him to contact our son outside of the court order, to ring him. I've still been turning up to dropping Joshua off at the point for collection. His dad's now messaged me saying that he thinks the collection point is the issue because it's my dad's house and he wants me to meet him somewhere neutral, i.e. a car park in the middle of a supermarket. Right. I'm not comfortable with that, and the court order is clear that alternate weekends from Friday 5 till 6 p.m. from whoever has Joshua in their care until Sunday 5 p.m. So I'm absolutely fine to say no to that, aren't I, and to continue as was.
Yes, you are. Brilliant. Yes, you are. And the thing is, it's
seen.
No, won't be seen. I mean, what will be seen as a little bit petty is Dad's request that he can't collect the child from that place. It must be this place. Because the court will say, well, what's more important, having contact or where the contact begins from? You know, he just needs
He's
to...
He's saying it would be a neutral place because he thinks being at my dad's house is the problem as to why our son won't go with him.
No. I don't think the court would agree with that. Absolutely not.
Okay, brilliant. Fantastic.
All right.
That's wonderful. Thank you very, very much.
Okay. Thanks, Andrea. Care. You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye for now. Bye.
SP, you are next up. What's your question?
Hi there.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I can, yeah.
Yeah, so my husband had his second hearing on the 25th of March. And from that hearing, there was recommendations made. So an order was made, basically, for 2 days to submit documents.
Yeah.
One of those dates was today, and the next one's not until the 18th of June. Now, he hasn't received the order to obviously tell him exactly what needs to be submitted.
Yeah.
And he's emailed the court several times. Is there going to be any consequence in terms of, on him, given that he hasn't had an order, so he doesn't know exactly what to submit, because he's emailed the court and they've just not got back to him? I think the first time they got back to him, they said, oh, they're still waiting for the legal advisor to get back to them, and then all the other times he's emailed them, he's had no response, just confirmation that the court received it.
Does the other side have a copy of the order?
No, she doesn't.
Okay. Well, there isn't. There won't be any consequence because they don't have the order yet. I mean, if there were solicitors involved, then we are expected to take down a detail.
No, they're both representing them.
Okay.
Yeah, they're both representing themselves.
So you might.
And he did take some
I was going to say you might get a judge. Yeah, you might get a judge that says, well, you should have taken a note and therefore you knew the documents that had to be filed. But I doubt if you're a litigant in person, judges would be too harsh on you. All he can do is what he's done is to chase the court for the order and get that as soon as possible. But there won't be any consequences if he misses the date, okay?
No.
Lovely. All right then.
Thank you very much.
Bye. For those of you listening on the podcast, I really hope that you enjoyed that episode. And don't forget, guys, if you can give a 5-star review, if you think that it's worthy of one, that would really help us increase our monthly listeners and therefore help more and more people. Thanks again.